Greetings from the Welsh Hills. Apologies for not being with you. I've sprained my ankle and I've been grounded on doctor's orders. My son. Well, first of all, can I just say some thank yous to wonderful people in Ducklington? Thank you to Robin for repairing the window blinds, for Anne, who is prepared to drive halfway across the United Kingdom to fetch me, and to dear Jill, who, on top of everything else, quietly and discreetly helps lots of people, including me. So, first of all, let's pray. Dear God, by your Spirit, enlighten our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in today's gospel, we're back with the infant Jesus. What's going on? Christmas was 5 weeks ago. Well, I wonder if any of you can remember the Book of Common Prayer service for the churching of women. It was a service of purification for the mother, about 5 weeks after childbirth. And that's what was happening here. In addition to, according to Old Testament law, the firstborn male child belonged to God and had to be bought back, that is, redeemed by a sacrifice. In the case of a simple couple like Mary and Joseph, that would be the offering of a pair of pigeons. We'll return to the gospel in a moment, but first, waiting. How good are you at waiting? Are you patient? Well, I'm not. And what irritates you the most? What are your bottom 10 most hated waits? Well, here are three in my recent experience. Number three, power cuts. A few days ago, Storm Jocelyn raged. It was 1 o'clock, and I was about to have tea and toast. Then the electricity went off. No tea, no toast. No heat, no light. No radio, no TV, no internet. The hours passed. We enjoyed a glass of water and a slice of bread and butter. Darkness fell. But it wasn't all bad. We had a few candles. We got a log fire going, and my son went out foraging and came back with some kebabs. Then at 8 o'clock, just when we had given up all hope for the night, the lights came on. Number two, travel delays, traffic jams, queues on the A40, trains cancelled. Returning from North Wales after Christmas, my first train was running only a little late until we stopped outside Wolverhampton, where I was due to make a connection. We were stopped for 30 minutes in order to let another train through. We saw it pass. It was our train. At Wolverhampton, we were informed the next one would be along in an hour. It wasn't. It took an hour and a half. And when it arrived, it was so full, we had to be crammed on board, like on those films of the Underground. But it wasn't all bad. I met my new best friend, Lily, a student nurse who helped try to contact my son, expecting to meet me at Oxford. My own phone had died. Finally, number one worst wait, A and E. On Thursday, the 18th of January at 5 o'clock, I had a fall and sprained my ankle. It wasn't all bad. My son got me to Whitney Hospital. A lovely doctor told me I needed an X-ray. But it was just after 8 p.m. and the X-ray department had closed. We must go to A and E at the JR. There we waited hours to see a doctor. Then we waited more hours for an X-ray. By now it was 2 a.m. When will I get a report on the X-ray? Oh, in 2 or 3 hours. I'm going home. You are discharging yourself against medical advice. Yes, you went home. Waiting. Boring, frustrating, wearisome, tedious. But is it all bad? In Samuel Beckett's play Waiting for Godot, the tramps Vladimir and Estragon meet every evening to await the arrival of Mr. Godot. Nothing much happens. They banter, they bicker, they eat a carrot. There is a visitor. Finally, a boy arrives with a message. Mr. Godot will not come today, but surely tomorrow. End of Act One. Act Two plays out in much the same way. Once again, a boy turns up and tells them, Mr. Godot is not coming today, but surely tomorrow. It's not all bad. Vladimir and Estragon have one another's company. We hope that one day Mr. Godot will come. It is not too far-fetched to think that Mr. Godot stands for God. In our gospel reading, Simeon and Anna are waiting. They have been for a very long time, all their lives, waiting for a visit from God. Who is going to rescue? God is going to rescue Israel. Simeon, we're told, is righteous. and devout. Anna spends her time in fasting and prayer. Simeon's absolutely convinced that God will not let him die before he sees the Saviour of Israel. But he's old. Time is running out. At last, he thinks, today's the day. He hurries to the temple. Was it a surprise to see this very ordinary young couple approach with their baby? What was it about that infant that made Simeon recognize him instantly as the salvation, not only to the glory of Israel, but also a light to the Gentiles? In fact, to all the peoples of the world. Simeon takes the baby in his arms. What a privilege to hold Almighty God in your arms. Anna joins him, praising God and telling anyone who listens about the child's future role in the redemption of Israel. Simeon and Anna's long wait is over. They have met with Christ. Soon they will meet with God again, as will we all. Was their long wait frustrating and wearisome? What did others perceive in Simeon and Anna? The poet John Milton tells us, they also serve who only stand and wait. To wait on someone is to be attentive. To listen, to follow instructions. A long wait can have a purpose. Purpose of being an example of patience, wisdom, and experience, of companionship and hope sustained. So my prayer for each one of us as we wait to be folded into the arms of God, that we too will listen and be attentive, not bombarding God with our own noise, but being still and aware of the grace and presence of God. Help us, dear Lord. For Jesus' sake, Amen.